Blog Talk Radio.
This is Those Guys with Matt Marrero, along with...
So, Disharm is in a pretty good mood tonight, right? I think we're always entertaining.
It brought some attitude. Yeah.
Cricket.
Just like our song did. Yeah. Yeah.
half of it, of course, as we talked about just right before we got on air, was
yes.
The fact that the UK provides incredibly awesome crowds.
Oh, yeah. And we'll talk about why as the podcast goes on. But, I mean, just in general, yeah. I mean, you know, just stating it outright. UK, great crowd. I hate to say this, not to offend you if you went to a WWE show in the last 2 weeks, but you were a part of a terrible crowd. You really were.
It may
you
have been
You may have
your
not
fault.
Been terrible.
I
yeah, it may
it
have been your fault. Specifically you, Danny.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, though. But seriously, all jokes aside.
Very quickly before you mentioned Danny, because, you know,
right.
As always, we're going to do the call-in segments about halfway through the show.
Yeah.
Right around midnight. So be ready around midnight to call in and tell us
Anyone.
Why you agree with us about Adam Rose being one of the best people on the planet. But, yeah.
Definitely. Most definitely. So we're going to start off with the main event, as we usually do, the big part of the night. But, of course, you know, before the main event, we'll pepper it with what led into it, right? All these Bray Cena promos.
Cool.
Yeah. So what started off Raw, I almost missed it. I almost missed it. Sadly, I was almost late. But, thankfully, I walked in right as Bray Wyatt was being amazing, which is always a good thing, right?
So did you see the opening of Raw?
I missed 2 minutes. I walked in to
they
Bray saying
okay.
How he was evil.
They
right.
started their
okay.
little thing. Like, you know, the dun, dun, WWE Now Forever thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
About 5 seconds in, cuts to the wives.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I
kind of freaked
world.
Out. I was like, hey, nice. And the crowd was really happy because, you know, hey, Wyatt,
of course.
London.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
But please,
so,
I mean, go
Bray,
ahead and talk about the
so,
promo and how you felt.
So Bray gives his great promo, although it's a bit upsetting because here's the thing, right? He gives an amazing promo, as always. I mean, very rarely is he a bit off, right? But
mm-hmm.
the problem is, in my opinion, they're doing something that is painting him as ultimate evil. Now, why is that a problem in this business? Because when you're fighting against a guy who's, quote-unquote, ultimate good, it's very hard to combat that. So, again, while to us and while to anyone, you know, be it a child, be it anyone who goes, you know what, that guy's speaking very well, right? If you're not that person, you're thinking, John Cena's going to win because he's the good guy. And it's like, damn, that kid's right. You know, there's no way John Cena can lose now, and it scares me.
Are you guaranteeing that, or are you...
I feel as if I'm guaranteeing it, if only because of the way things are progressing, where it seems like Bray is ultimate evil, and obviously Cena is ultimate good. I mean, look at what he's done, right? Minus at the end of this promo, right? Everything he's done, apparently this good guy, this hope, blah, 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 right? Superman, whatever. You know, he's going to come in and win and be the triumphant one, which
yeah,
is what would have happened. You know,
I text you right after the promo? You know, Cena's such a heel, coming in attacking from behind and then running away from a fight.
I texted you the exact same thing in all caps. What are they doing with Cena? Why is he a heel now? Because the issue is that he obviously isn't. If anyone doesn't remember, maybe you missed it. I don't know. Right during the promo, you know, his music hit, which made you think John Cena is going to run to the ring, possibly fly. I don't know. You know, Superman. You know,
I'm
fly.
Just laughing because
happen,
just
right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, possibly a pop up from underneath the ring, Kane style. You know, something creative. He appears from behind them. Punches Bray, not even all three of them in a way where it's like, oh, at least he's trying to stand dominant and maybe run away. No, punches Bray, then goes, neener, neener, and then runs away.
It's
I believe
funny
he said
because,
neener, neener.
It's one of those things where it's like, if the face does it, it's supposed to be outsmarting, but if the heel did the exact same thing, it would be devious and evil. So
yes.
It's almost a mockery of these face-heel lines, where it's like, you know, there are certain things where certain characters, like Eddie Guerrero, who were, he was able to be a face while using heel tactics. But
yes,
that was a unique situation where a crowd liked him for doing that stuff, you know?
Or you know, you have certain tweener guys, you know, who are can do that very easily. I mean, you look at the Attitude Era, and that's what everyone did, right? You could have had someone's grandma, Triple H's grandma could have came out during the Attitude Era, hit, you know, someone in the head with a chair, and you would have thought, she's a lovely older woman. She's lovely.
Yeah,
you know, it wouldn't have. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So now, I mean, in terms of if we're still trying to stick to the heel face lines, that was a pretty heel shit thing to do. But of course, we already know Cena does really heelistic things. On the topic of the promo, I guess it was funny because just now when you were like, "Yeah," in case you missed it, in my head I was like, "Yeah," in case you missed it, John Cena is a good guy, and that's why he's
exactly.
good thing. But you made a good point when you're talking about Bray being put out to sound like the ultimate evil. And you're right. I mean, in comic books and wrestling, in everything that's not real life, the good will always triumph over evil. So it does – it kind of scared me when Bray was like, I'm evil. I'm like, are they trying to force him to sound more heelish? Because – but then he went on to continue with his tweenerness. You know, where it's like,
yes.
Just that part, if you cut him off there, I'm evil. People think, oh, maybe he is a heel. But then he goes on to basically make himself seem like he, as he says, he's offering hope for people. And John Cena's fake. John Cena's the liar. John Cena's the bad person. So I'm the good guy. You know, I'm the necessary evil, which is a good thing. So it was kind of like he puts himself in this tweener location where I don't know what to. You know, I don't know what to perceive him as. Like, granted, I love him. I like him. I know that much. But, I mean, in terms of, like, heel face lines, I guess what they're trying to do is promote him as, like, this cult kind of guy. Where,
of course, which is great,
you know,
obviously.
Yeah, he has believed his own shit. Like, he is so immersed in his own ideals that he,
you know, every
villain is a hero in his own mind thing, where he really thinks he's a savior. And I like that. I really like that if that's what they're doing. I am just worried about if he's going to lose. Because if he loses, that's it.
What, you know, it is. I mean, and it's funny because I do believe, and I'll stick to my guns and say, it won't destroy his momentum in a way where people like us think, damn, Bray Wyatt, you know, this. The only problems that arise from it, because again, I've said this before, I'll say it again, the kids will always think that Bray Wyatt is weak. Unless he, like, literally murders John Cena live. We've talked about
that.
All of us will think that Bray Wyatt's amazing, regardless of what happens. The only people that could be affected, which could affect Bray's career, is everyone in the back, which is upsetting because they're the ones who made this happen. But regardless, you know, that's the only issue that can happen, where you can have, for some strange reason, WWE goes, well, Bray suffered this loss. Let's make sure he doesn't speak ever again.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a guy where he has, through only the ability of his mic skills, been able to save himself from being buried. Because I guarantee that many other people in this position would have already been done for. But this, he just continues to salvage his own ass. And that's
great. Hell.
Because
hell,
we want him
Sandow. Even Sandow has great mic skills, but they did that where I just said, if they do it with Bray, where they just cut him off and they made him stop speaking.
They cut him off because Sandow, I would argue that Sandow would have had a chance to save himself, but what combined it was A, the losing streak they put him on beforehand, and B, the fact that they basically wiped him off TV for a bit. You can't get over if you're not on TV, and even if you do when you're Zack Ryder, they're going to mutilate you as punishment.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I am very worried about Cena winning because if he does, it's for the most part over for Bray, and that's not good at all because, again, what does Cena serve to gain from this? Because if you want to say, oh, he has to be the hero and take down the big villain to save the world, technically he's not the champion anymore, so he's not supposed to be the most compelling person on the roster. You know, the champion is supposed to be the top face and or heel, you know? And
even
though I worry about whether Daniel's injury will shift up the plans a little.
Right.
I don't want them to think, oh, you know, because we want to have Daniel, we have to make Cena look good because, you know, he looks really bad right now, so we need to put him over Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be the plan in general. I don't think that Daniel would change anything because, sadly, you know, we're still in the age of Cena is, you know, Super Cena, and I don't think that will change. Honestly, he will never get the Hogan NWO run, so I never think he'll get a heel run. I do think that, you know, maybe one day he'll leave, but sadly, it's a weird thing because he has these promos saying, oh, you know, you have to get through me, you have to get through me. But what that means is, you know, I personally believe, and I don't know the guy, so I'm only talking about from what I've seen, you know, on the outside looking in. What that means is hopefully you're really nice to me. Because if you are, then yeah, sure, I'll put you over. Because there's great rumors, there's big rumors that apparently he does like Big E and that may be pushing Big E in the future when they actually have something for him. They obviously, look what he did for Daniel Bryan, you know? Clearly, if he likes a guy, if he respects a guy, he's going to do a lot for him. Something, I assume, Bray somehow pissed him off. Because here we are. Because, like we've said, over and over and over, and it's starting to get me pretty annoyed, because there is no reason why John Cena needs to get what he's getting, needs to be doing what he's doing at this point in his career. After everything he's gotten, right? After the fact that it's to the point where I actually believed Stephanie McMahon. I believed her at face value when she said, I'm giving the championships to Kane. Because who else would you give them to? That's a major problem right there. When you don't have enough bad guys to actually say, let's fight some bad guys. You know, we need bad guys. That's a terrible thing. And then when one good guy leaves, you go, well, we can't turn another good guy bad. It's like, but that would actually even things up a bit, guys.
You know, it's funny because, I mean, you could salvage the situation for a bit by... I mean, I always argue for this. Turning Sheamus heel, you know, having a guy like him run roughshod as heel, and then they'll argue, oh, we don't have enough faces. We do, and we have one that'll be coming back soon enough, you know, where technically the Shield count as three faces at the top of the card. You know, and I mean, again, right now, except for Barrett, all of our champions are faces.
Yeah, it's insanity.
Which is kind of a problem, because it shows that we have no heels. B, life is more interesting when the heel is the champion and the face is in pursuit.
Yeah, of course. And also I would like to add that, you know, it's WWE has this huge policy. We really shouldn't be having faces versus faces. We don't really like that too much. It can happen for some really cool novelty matches, like let's say Usos versus, you know,
Rock versus Cena.
Or things like that. But still, it becomes a major issue when it's just, you know, other than the novelty, it's just, so then what are we doing here? And then someone in WWE Creative says, exactly. Stop joking. What are we doing here? Precisely. You know, if that is the way you spitball ideas, that's a major problem. And I feel as if that's the way they spitball. I mean, again, I've said this once before. There may be a lot of things that we don't know going on behind the scenes. But I can definitely say that they're hinting.
We both said, you know, there are probably some shit going on that we just don't know.
But we can definitely say that whatever it is hindering the product. Whoever it is, whatever it is, it's causing the product to be a bit more chaotic than it should be.
Yeah, and financially it's been showing, if you've heard, you know, outside of the on-screen product, both you and I have heard the rumors about the fact that WWE stock has dropped, and that's not even, you know, I call that a rumor, but their stock price has dropped.
Yeah. Well, I will say this much, though. Honestly, I will say that from the looks of it, in my opinion, as a guy who knows nothing, I just feel as if they, you know, threw in a bit too much money into an amazing idea. But maybe they just didn't have the money to throw into it at the time. You know, this network. Again, amazing idea. I think, honestly, though, the biggest issue possibly is that had we done this in the Attitude Era, let's pretend that Internet was really good, by the way. Let's pretend that Internet actually existed. If we did this in the Attitude Era, with the way people were back then and how they felt about, you know, loyalty and whatever, maybe they could have gotten that as many people as they wanted to on the first day. But now we live in an age where everyone's loyalty is to themselves. Meaning,
it's only been like 10 years, dude.
What?
It's only been like 10 years.
No, because here's the thing. What I'm saying is this, though. Hear me out. I swear, hear me out. What I mean is this, right? Right now we live in a time where someone can say, oh, I'm such a huge WWE fan. I watch it every week. I watch every pay-per-view. You ask me about wrestling, I know about it. And you ask the person, and they know about it. And then you say, so, do you have the network? No, I stream illegally.
Well, yeah.
why don't you pay $10 a month? Well, I mean, I'm in college, but you're working like that job that gets you a lot of money. Yeah, but you know, I can't be doing stuff like that. It's like, but you're a huge fan. Doesn't matter. They don't need my money. They're a corporation. Well, how do you think they got there? You know.
Well, to be fair, it's weird because I am anti-corporation, so it's weird
right.
to hear me. That's why you don't hear me going off the way you do in terms of, like, super promoting the network. Because
right,
I'm still
right,
kind of
right.
leery to go ahead and say, hey, give big corporations your money. Because I have this, like, inbred embedded hate of, like, corporations and big money and that kind of stuff.
I agree.
I'm a logical, value-based person. So
yeah.
I look at it and I say, if I had to illegally stream wrestling pay-per-views,
quality
is not guaranteed, the connection is not guaranteed, and yeah, it happens to be illegal. So
yeah.
On the flip side, $10 a month would have been enough for me to pay for the pay-per-views. I would have got it just for the HD pay-per-view streams. But the fact that you have replays and original programming and all the old pay-per-views is enough to keep me there for at least like through the next year and stuff, because I anticipate them adding more stuff, but even if they
yeah.
didn't, like right now, I would still be satisfied like till the end of 2014 because they did a
yeah.
lot of shit, and
yeah.
that's cool.
Well, but then I'll reword it like this, because this is one thing that I always like to say. If I can support something while being very cheap and frugal about it, I will, and I think that's the biggest issue, where $10 a month is just a beautiful price, and yet you still have some people saying, no, I would rather not. Are you not a fan? Well, no, I am. Then why
yeah,
would
I mean,
you not?
All I'm saying is don't pin it all on the people, you know, because it's not...
Not all on the people, but I still feel as if there are many people trying to cut corners, trying to, you know, share accounts.
I try to cut corners and...
No, but what I'm saying is share accounts.
No, you said share accounts, but I just laughed because, come on.
No, shut up. There are some people that are trying to
share
accounts.
A fucking account.
Listen, you're going to shut your whore mouth, because here's the issue. What if an entire, like, what if an entire family, mind you, an entire, like, I am from a very large Hispanic family. Rather than just two people, imagine if a very large family tries to share an account all together, and it's a family of wrestling fans.
I hate that you reference that back to Hispanic families, because it's like, are we tinging on races here? Is the racisometer kind of, like, spiking?
Well, we are talking about the WWE, so.
Yeah, but
you know,
we're not racist.
Skyrocket. So, but no, but seriously, though, all jokes aside, I'm just saying that when it's you and me as two guys, and I'm actually during our six-month commitment as a couple, no, during our six-month commitment with the network, when that is actually up, I might look at you and say, I'm going to purchase the network. You know, if WWE is still actually a company by then. But I would want to purchase the network because I would want to support them for that low, low price and for all the things that they're giving me in hopes that it will the cogs will continue and that this thing won't die. Because if this thing dies, that will be a very sad day for me. And I think for you, too. Imagine that, just back
oh,
to
yeah,
the streaming.
Oh, yeah, I'd be pretty upset if
all
it went down.
Yeah, all of the HD
like
Raws
it.
And everything would just be, you know, I'm assuming people have been, you know, archiving them via torrent or whatever, but at the same time, though, they, you know, any newer ones would never be there. And I assume, you know, they wouldn't have all of the Raws by the time this thing could go down, which would be a huge, issue for me.
Well, I mean, just arguably the WWE Network is worth it. I mean, that's a pretty simple statement, I would say.
Of course.
I worry about where they're going financially because I don't know if they have as much direction as I'd like to hope they do. And,
oh, yeah, fair enough. Oh, completely. Yeah, I completely
You know,
that.
I think that's where there's just a worry. And the network is going to make them a lot of money. I don't know how much it's going to make investors and stuff like that. You know, because, like, for me, I talked about investing in WWE stock when the network started off, because in my head I was like, yeah, then people are going to buy into it, but then get rid of it right away, because there is going to be this period of doubt, and it'll go up again soon. Because people see, like, the new numbers will come out, and they'll look pretty good. And people will say, man, I'm going to buy into this again. And the price will go up again. And then we'll see what happens. Because
you know,
it's a matter of can you sustain that growth of subscriber rate. Because their plan is to have, like, what, 1.5 million subscribers by 2015 or something?
1.3 to 1.4.
Yeah, and that is a plausible thing, but they don't have, like, it could happen, and if it does, they will stay stable financially. What happens if it doesn't? That's where I'm standing to see, you know, financially.
Well,
I'm very curious.
What I think,
and
what
then
matters
what happens
is,
to the talent?
Yes, no, that would be an issue. What matters, I believe, is that, what I believe anyway, is if domestic isn't the only number, like if that does involve, you know, international, they really need to work harder. Like, okay, while content for us, is for, you know, the actual people on the network, is worth it, older content, I would actually argue to work harder on trying to get it to international markets sooner. Because if you notice tonight, even though the UK doesn't have the network, they really like WWE. Better than the last two crowds that we've seen, which obviously like it, but are really not into it. Clearly.
But also, we did discuss the fact that some of them in the UK do have the network already.
Yes, but again, from what I've heard, it's like the way people torrent. And before you say, Matt, everyone torrents. Actually, when you talk to a lot of people, they're like, wait a minute, downloading on the internet illegally? I buy it from that guy on the street corner. What do you mean getting something illegally on the internet? Won't I get arrested for that? So not even – there's so many people that don't even know about certain backdoor tricks and everything that, honestly, you can probably still milk a lot from the UK and other territories.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Network.
Like, obviously it's going to go up.
Yeah.
But I do hope that they realize what they're doing. Like, I hope they realize that their numbers aren't going to spike in the UK the way they want to, and in some other countries too. You know, but I mean, that being said, I mean, we can talk about their finances all the time, so we can run back to Raw, because there were a lot of cool things that went on tonight.
The reason why we talk about the network is because one day this payback match with Bray and John Cena will be on the network, and that's how we're tying this
one
in.
Day, but it'll be on an hour after fucking payback.
Yeah, one day in 3 weeks, it'll be on. But, okay, so Cena versus Harper. Since, again, we do have to talk about the main event just a bit before we actually delve into the rest of Raw.
Go for it.
My reaction was, wow, such a new match. This hasn't been played out.
Because I thought I may have seen Harper get a little freedom to actually be Harper tonight.
Yes. This is my first reaction, though, was, you know, again, oh, such a new match. After seeing Harper, I agree. I mean, doing some of the things that he does, this guy, if for some reason the Wyatts do break up or he has to break away from the Wyatts in some weird way, he has a future.
Oh, he'll be fine. I mean, just even calling out some moves from the match, the suicide dive, the Hurricanrana, the super kick, the Death Valley neckbreaker off the turnbuckle. He's got a really versatile moveset. And then on top of that, he's got a versatile moveset for a huge motherfucking dude.
Oh, yeah.
Be able to Hurricanrana John Cena. And he did that with ease. And that looked awesome.
Yes, definitely. And, and I'm happy that, you know, no one won or lost because, obviously, you know, that's pay-per-view territory. And
nobody should win or lose in wrestling. We should all be friends.
Don't be a lemon, be a rosebud.
Oh, we'll
get
to me being happy.
My only issue, I think, with, like, the Usos coming out with John Cena, because I didn't have a big issue, because obviously it's like, yeah, they're coming out together. I mean, you know, the Usos aren't wrestling tonight, but that was kind of also one of my issues, where the
Usos
have been doing
wrestling tonight.
Yeah, but then it becomes an issue, because for 2 weeks, while last week the Usos did wrestle, we haven't really had a tag team division. I mean, on SmackDown, we did have the Usos versus the Rhodes Brothers, but still, we haven't really had this, there's tag teams still, right? Crickets. No, but guys, there's tag teams. Crickets. I mean, heck, who did we have fight? We had Ryback fight, you know, Big E this week, and Curtis Axel was nowhere to be found. Like most of his career, but yeah.
When you use Ryback, I mean, you have to not do the tag team. You can't use Ryback till that night. It's funny because I don't think they even needed to use Ryback for this match. They could have had a tag team thing, but I'm not going to complain about Beat the Clock because I actually really like Beat the Clock.
No, I like Beat the Clock. I'm just saying that I would have liked a manager. That's all I'm saying. You know, that's all. Just there was literally no rush. So it's just like, are we eliminating the tag team division? We have the tag team champions. Are they really? They haven't defended their title in how long? You know, it's one of those issues. Which is,
yeah, but we'll see what happens with that.
I'm
hoping they revitalize it somehow. Just, you know, one or two more tag teams. I mean,
that's
hell,
all.
At NXT, I don't know if you got to watch it yet, but I was telling you to watch because Kalisto debuted, and
his tag team
partner was El Ocal. And I don't know if you know who that is.
Well, yeah, hopefully they can add one more tag team, and then they can bust up those Ascension fellows.
Yeah, no, I mean, and for those of you who don't know, I mean, El Ocal is actually Ricardo Rodriguez. And it was just a lot of fun because it's Ricardo Rodriguez and Kalisto fighting as an NXT tag team. And
what
Kalisto
happened to him
very
being,
impressive.
But what happened to him being an announcer for the Spanish announce team?
I think he can do both. Nobody
yeah,
can tell El Ocal. Nobody can tell El Ocal is Ricardo Rodriguez.
Pretty much, yeah. Also, I really want to know what kids in the U.S. think with Bray Wyatt's chance. Just sitting there, just, these people in London are weird. Right? Because everyone was just on spot with every Bray chant, as if they sit at home and practice this.
Yeah, no, and they were really
good
with
it.
They sang with Bray, and then later on in the night we had Bray's Gonna Get You, all that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good because not only was it good for me because, yes, they support the things I support, but I like active, lively crowds because that just makes that Raw so much better. Like, even Raw can become entertaining when the crowd is into it.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, I mean, there was so much, you know, great stuff about this crowd. And you know, now we'll kind of move back to the beginning and kind of work our way around. But, you know, we have Cesaro versus Sheamus.
That was weird.
Yeah, because it's like,
it happened, the ending made sense.
Yes, because the thing is, it wasn't a bad match. You know, and it's nice that they're putting Cesaro over, but it was just, I don't know. Also, London does not like Sheamus, by the way. It was kind of funny.
Is it because he's Irish?
I don't know. I feel like that's what it is, because the second Sheamus came out, either that or maybe they think he's seen a light, which is from what I've heard, which is what the internet, I believe most people on the internet are from the UK, at least for this crowd, because it just felt as if we were there. And I thought, I'm not in the UK right now. I'm at my home in the US, but interesting. You know, these guys were really, you know, into it. But also, Paul Heyman, though, I don't know if he has, I mean, maybe he doesn't have as much creative control. I don't know. Because, okay, he has to be a heel, obviously. But it's very weird when, like, okay, Bray's a heel, and I know it's a different type of heel, but so Bray's a heel that when the crowd chants for him, he can twist himself around, I feel as if, in a way, to get them to chant more. Where Paul Heyman, it was like, Paul, like, stop it. They actually love you, Paul. Don't act as if they don't. Because it became a very... I actually did not like the promo. Because I know he has to go by a certain guideline, obviously. But it felt as if it was just like... You know, like imagine. Imagine if someone just sat there and was like, Satish, we love you. Look, I know how much you hate me. Just please stop.
Like, yeah, like,
no,
I understand that it didn't go over the way that they thought it would. Because Heyman really loved... And here's another problem with that segment for me.
What?
You mentioned Cesaro. The entire crowd cheers. Cesaro is effectively a face, and they are trying really hard to make him a heel. That's not, like, I say make him as, like, you know, he was a heel for a while, but he's got a face moveset.
Yeah.
He's got everything going in his favor to be a face. He basically is a face. And they're just like, no, he's a heel. No, he's not. Cesaro is a face at this point.
Yeah,
and the
fact
that they let Heyman, you know, Heyman cheated to win basically for him today.
Right.
That, I mean, it wasn't even that much of a heelish thing because Heyman was the heel there. Cesaro Germaned him, you know, it wasn't like a low blow or something. You get me?
Yeah.
Like, if you really want to make him a heel, you have to heel it up. And it's not going to work because he's just so catered to being a face, and everybody wants him to be a face so bad.
Yeah,
I guess he's facing Sheamus for the title at Payback, by the way.
I would assume so.
That would be cool.
But yeah, it would. But yeah, and the thing is that if you want to say, no, he has to be heel, then he has to be at the main event level. But he isn't yet. Therefore, it's okay, you know, for mid-cards, I do believe we have a nice amount of heels and faces, you know, so long as you just really get people on television.
Mm-hmm.
And you're good. But, you know, but when you're up there, it's just if they plan and say, hey, no, we actually want Cesaro to just jump to the main event for some reason, right?
Well, fine. I'll accept
heel,
that.
Heel.
But
heel.
If
but
they are
going
to do that then,
right.
They're still sucking. Like, it's not like they're doing a good job of making him seem like a heel. You know?
True.
So it just,
true.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But again, you know, Sheamus, Cesaro, not bad in the ring. Hopefully we see a pay-per-view level match at Payback from them.
Yep. And then, you know, Biggie versus Ryback.
Beat the
Clock. Nice. Yeah, I mean, I like Beat
always
the Clock.
Fun.
It was nice. Yeah, I think it's nice that they're trying to revitalize, you know, actual things for actual titles. And I say things because it could be anything. It could be, you know, like crazy
well,
things.
Well,
like,
if they threw out a King in the Ring again, I would be the happiest son of a bitch in the world. I love King in the Ring.
I love King of the Ring. And there's just so many people who could win it and who, you know, it could push their career. I don't understand why King of the Ring still isn't a thing, you know? King of the Ring is that Royal Rumble type thing, or what the Royal Rumble hasn't been in a while, because obviously you know who's it's all expected, so it's just King of the Ring would be great to boost somebody up out of nowhere and see where that takes them. Yeah, but anyway, so you know, Biggie won, which made me happy until it didn't matter later, sort of. But
yeah,
Biggie
I felt
won.
That because do you remember the second match? Refresh my memory. It was RVD and Del Rio, right?
Yes.
The
Beat the Clock. Very upsetting. Yes.
Big E was staring at the TV watching, and it's funny because during the Intercontinental Title Tournament. All
right.
he was doing on those Raws was staring at the TV watching. And I feel like that's become a part of his character now, where they just embedded him as Black American who watches a lot of television.
And it's upsetting because at the very least he could have made a joke. He could have – because it's just like you can – like if you know him as a character, let's say from NXT or something, you can look at that and go – he's really hamming it up, right? But if you don't know, you're just like, yes, it is an African-American gentleman who is intently staring at that television screen.
And he's been doing it for like 5 straight weeks.
Yeah, he doesn't move.
I feel like it's a running joke backstage where they're like, Big, you're going to be watching TV again today. Fuck!
Yeah, no, it's true. And then while I want to jump to this only for a split second because it's another Beat the Clock match, and you brought it up already. RVD versus Del Rio was so fast, and obviously it had to be because it was a Beat the Clock, but it was so fast that I felt as if RVD shouldn't even been in it because he didn't really get to do too many spots, and also it was Del Rio who ate the pin. And then you sit there and think, you know, are they punishing Del Rio because he kind of came out there saying he was upset about, you know, with his contract? Or are they just going, whatever, Del Rio doesn't matter. Do we really care about our, you know,
well,
Hispanic market?
Well, arguably, I would have said, my thing would have been that if you're going to have someone lose in this position, RVD is going to lose to Barrett most likely, you know. And I was thinking, all right, ADR should be winning this match against RVD right now because he needs a little bit of a boost. And RVD is probably going to go on to lose to Barrett at WrestleMania. Wow, Payback. But... at WrestleMania, they redux us to WrestleMania. But he already lost at the last pay-per-view. You know what I mean? You don't have to use him again. You can use someone like Ziggler. At least give him a pay-per-view deal, you know? I mean, I don't know. Refresh some of the names and faces up there again. Because this isn't me clamoring for Ziggler to have a world title reign. This is me saying, throw him out there. Let him have a good match with somebody on a pay-per-view. He'll lose, to put over Barrett. But...
Yeah.
Let him have that good pay-per-view quality match on the pay-per-view. He deserves that. He puts in the work. You know, RVD's cool. He is. But,
you know, that's the thing. I love RVD so much. You have no idea. I love RVD. But there was no reason for this to happen because WWE now, unless maybe you're 3, and I literally mean this because I feel as if kids aren't as stupid as people think, unless you're 3, right, a kid's going to look at this and go, I don't think that guy's going to win, you know? It's just there's a thing about track records and people coming back, and it's like, usually, other than Brock Lesnar, right, usually the guys that come back don't really win that much. Like, I feel as if that's a thing. Like, same thing with, like, let's say, Daniel Bryan versus Kane, right? Many people could look at that and go, Kane, WWE World Heavyweight Champion, doesn't really fit, doesn't connect, right? It's just a thing that they try to do it for the, you know, interim. Oh, well, they'll fight him until he gets someone better. But for a guy like Wade Barrett, you don't need that. You need a guy like Del Rio, like Ziggler, to think, well, yes, this guy has had some credibility in the past. And then, obviously, Barrett destroys him.
Yeah, I mean, and we've got a call on there, and I'm going to put him on in a second after I make my final comment on this thing. I guess what bothers me here is that you could have switched the exact scenarios where you could have had Ziggler win the match and RVD, like, drop his 5-star and just barely lose by a couple seconds.
Yeah.
And it would have been okay because hey, RVD would have had his little moment over Del Rio. Ziggler would have looked cool and went on to pay-per-view match. It just bothers me because RVD is going to be around next month anyway. He's going to be RVD again. You can always tout the whole former world champion thing, whether he lost or not. You know, and you don't need him right now to put over Barrett. It would have been okay to put
really
on a good match with Ziggler. But let's put through our caller, our regular caller.
Oh, is this Daniel?
I am Groot.
Oh, no, it's Groot.
All right.
No, it's Daniel. Hello, everyone. So, Daniel, what did you like from tonight's Monday night?
First of all, I think Big E stole my gimmick. Black guy who watches TV is my thing.
Daniel is the resident African American who watches television. How dare you, Big E? Go back to talking about five things. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But what did you? So what have you liked about tonight?
Well, it was a little pretty bland night. But,
really.
If anything, I did enjoy Bray Wyatt and all his chants. Just
yes, I have to. Yeah, that's the thing. I feel like if you were a Bray Wyatt fan, you really got invested. And if you weren't a Bray Wyatt fan, then you still felt investment because you thought, why are they doing this? Screw Bray Wyatt. You know, like if you were 8 or something. So it still felt as if you were involved regardless of what side you were on, which is really cool, I think.
You said it was bland. I mean, can you expand on that a little bit? Because, I mean, I got entertaining from it. So I just want to...
I was entertained by a couple of spots, but, like, for some reason, maybe it was my TV, but I didn't really hear the crowd roar, like it was a. I feel like I should know what a England crowd sounds like, but
you must adjust your television set. But what I will say is this much though: there were some unintelligible chants. I'll say much.
Two or three during the night where I had no idea what they were saying.
They were doing soccer chants, so that's like pretty much.
I'll say that much, right? Maybe they could have been better, but what I will say is this much. From what we've seen from the last 2 weeks, honestly, since they aren't on the network, sadly, and since Hulu cuts them up, get them in any way you possibly can, right, the last 2 weeks of Raw, and sit there and listen to them and think, wow, these crowds are bad. Because
I got DVR, so, yeah.
Yeah, even better. Perfect. Watch your last two Raws. They were really bad in terms of crowd reaction and crowd chants. I mean, we got, both Tish and I, were very nervous about Adam Rose because of the two shit crowds that ended up downplaying his entire, entrance on Raw and everything, his debut. But also now we have this UK crowd that went nuts for him. We'll go about it later, but you saw it. Went insane for him.
Thank God they put him in England because that was going to save him.
Yeah, I mean, possibly that's what saved them, you know, or at very least a good crowd, because it could have been anywhere, you know, like maybe New York City or possibly, you know, even let's say like, you know, New Orleans. I mean, after WrestleMania, certain crowds really can get you pumped and can really make superstars' careers. And currently, for the last 2 weeks, these crowds have kind of been downplaying the superstars in a weird way, because you'll have superstars say, oh, it's the crowd, you know, the fans are what helps us. And it's true, because if no one cheers, WWE can have an argument of saying, well, no one likes this person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
So personally, I mean, I agree. They possibly could have been better, but from what we've had, this is perfect.
Okay.
In my opinion. But but anyway, Daniel, thanks for having you on. Happy that you agree with us, right? We need someone to call in that loves John Cena and hates Bray Wyatt. If you love John Cena and hate Bray Wyatt, please, our number is 718-664-9468. Number is 718-664-9468. Talk about your John Cena love. Thank you for being on, Daniel. Have a great night and keep on listening.
See you later. Take care, Danny. We'll still be taking calls for another few minutes or so if you'd like to call in. And if you want to take me on and tell me that you don't like Paige, you don't like Adam Rose, you think you could beat me in Pokemon, you can call in. I can tell you why all three of those in succession are wrong. And I would love to talk to you on that matter.
Oh, yeah.
So,
as we move forward with tonight, right, little bits here and there, R-Truth appeared. And I say appeared because he's gotten to the point where he's basically a legendary Pokemon. Speaking of Pokemon,
Got a pretty decent crowd reaction.
I'm not going to lie. I felt as if I put it in action replay or I into my television and I unlocked a special event Pokemon. That's how I feel. And to relate it to people who've just played maybe like WWE, you know, video games and stuff, I feel as if you were at my house again making a story about R-Truth appearing in the UK.
And the people who don't play any of those, Matt is saying he cheats at video games.
I've never said that.
I almost got angry at the Funkadactyls throwing in their what's up because it drowned out the crowd's what's up.
Yes, you know,
like the whole concept of that for a general entrance. Like, hey, what's up? You're asking the girls, but dude, the crowd was screaming what's up, and they wanted to. You know, and I just laughed.
I was just so confused over the entire thing because I just thought. First off, R-Truth, what are you doing here? And then he's getting these crowd pops. UK, what are you doing here? And then the Funkadactyls were there, too. And I'm thinking, you three haven't been seen on TV together since the drought of 93. You know, it's been so long.
No, it was fun because you have R-Truth, and they're screaming, what's up? Right after, you have Fandango. And the crowd is immediately singing his theme.
Playing it up for the crowd. You saw how he moved. Playing it up, eating. He had them
completely.
In his hands.
And then on top of that, Summer Rae comes out to raucous cheers.
Yes.
It's a really cool theme song, I have to say. I like Summer Rae's theme song.
Yeah,
but
it's been a theme song for a while now. It's amazing. I love it.
I know. I like it, and she just comes out and does Summer Rae things, which, if you haven't been listening to us, we like.
But it's funny. I knew she was coming back, if only because... you know, sometimes it's very hard for me to pick up certain angles, I will admit. But for some reason I thought, Fandango versus R-Truth in the UK, Summer Rae is going to appear.
You know, immediately I thought this
is
weird. When they announced mixed tag, I was like, now it's definitely not happening.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, R-Truth is not teaming up with one of the Funkadactyls.
I would like to do some JBL quotes. We'll continue them throughout the night. The first quote was to Michael Cole, "You're a fuddy-duddy." And then the second one, when Summer Rae came out, and this honestly was perfect, she said, "Is she going to tweet him?" Like, what is... Because that's all their feud has been, you know, till now,
right,
really,
tweeting,
just tweet.
Which is cool.
Great,
you know,
tweet.
Good incorporation of social media. And for those of you... who don't keep track of, you know, Fandango, Summer Rae, or Zeb on Twitter, follow them. And I say Zeb if only because one of my favorite moments in the past 7 days was an interaction between Zeb Coulter and Fandango, where Zeb basically tried to send Layla back to England in his tweet, he says. But they didn't want her. Fandango tweets right at him and says, you know, you should lay off my woman or I'm going to lace your cargo pockets with dynamite, Yosemite.
Yeah.
And hashtag Looney Tunes. Zeb responds, "I invented TNT in all caps. Hashtag knowledge is power."
I
hug him.
No, and what's great is, as you said over the phone, we both agreed that we heard it in his voice. So what we heard is, "I invented TNT." And I sat there just dying when I read this because I think the best thing in the world is you asking me if I heard about it and then both of us quoting it. Together. I think
it's great because a lot of these guys have excellent personalities. Big E, another guy on Twitter, great personality. And I'll mention something else on Twitter that I heard via Maddie later on when we get to the Adam Rose segment, which is going to kill you. But, it's interesting that they've incorporated Twitter so much with an on-screen angle, but I like it.
Oh,
I like that they can do that,
yeah.
And it's very entertaining to me.
It's where we are, and I hate to say this because I hate to sound like I'm so young and cool and hip because I'm none of those three things. I'm mom young. None of those other two things. But I feel as if someone says, "Oh, this is stupid," it's like, listen, Grandpa, you know?
It's entertaining TV, and you know
what?
Summer Rae's going to come out looking good, I think.
Oh, yeah, of course. We had a new Bo promo,
two new bro promos.
Bro, it's bro leave. I think what I really enjoy is these promos got a lot more epic in scale. Like, their production value skyrocketed. Because
you mean they
debut,
got better stock footage?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They got better stock footage, but it looks amazing. Because the thing is, I think at first they were really trying to make it look like, you know, like silly stock footage, like, you know, very cheesy. And but now all of a sudden, these last two, I thought, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I think we both had two different lines, because for me, I tell you, the one that killed me was, you know, it's not the amount of breaths you take, but it's the amount of moments that take your breath away.
And then mine is just the simple fact that in the second promo they aired tonight, he got to say bow time in a very relaxed way that it doesn't make him sound like some guru, just made him sound very just at peace with himself, like, it's bow time. Like very
and
confident.
It is. Because on Friday, I am getting the debut of Bo Dallas, and I'm really happy.
Yeah.
Because
this may
Bo
be
Dallas.
A SmackDown. This may be a SmackDown that we get to see and comment
on. I'm
probably not.
Jump
but
on
this
the
may.
Spoilers tomorrow night.
Yes.
Because I just want to know how it went over and what they do.
Right.
Because
I
am severely surprised that they're actually debuting him on a SmackDown, but they are debuting him on a SmackDown in London.
Yeah.
You know,
so
I don't know the particular. I think it's like Glasgow or something of that nature. I don't know what city they'll be in.
But they are in the UK, and
it's in England, and the crowd will react accordingly.
That's the thing. Yes, they have chosen the perfect crowd. Honestly, this would have been a great crowd to just debut Adam Rosen, because honestly, you know, we'll get to it. But all I'll throw out there, just a little tiny taste. The promo that he had tonight was basically a debut promo. What he should have had on his first night. On Raw.
Oh,
anyway.
Actually, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that point.
Yes. But anyway, but we'll get there when we get there. One quote I really enjoyed. Michael Cole said this when Total Divas is up for a third season. Now, I'm not complaining. We've done, well, myself and Ashley Colpan, one of our, you know, gals who came on, one of our co-hosts. She,
I don't
know
why you still say your girlfriend.
But she's also that. But she's also one of our gals, you know, because we're
so you're saying that her importance to the podcast is more important than her, like, girlfriendness to you? Because if I'm talking about someone, I introduce them in, like, you know, in order of how.
But I don't want her to just be that. I want her to be even more than that because she's.
But you don't mention the girlfriend part unless I mention the girlfriend part, which makes me wonder, Mr. Marrero, if your client Brock Lesnar broke the streak at WrestleMania. Or was that Paul Heyman? Am I mistaking you for another guy? I probably am.
I'm in love with you. Anyway, so with Total Divas, I just, there's a season three, so I'm not really complaining, but the quote, Total Divas is a smash hit when the ratings have consistently gone lower in the past few weeks. It's just, it's really funny if you know, if you actually know, you know, I mean, keeping up with the ratings. It's actually really funny. But moving on to something actually good, Stephanie's promo was good for so many reasons. The teasing
from the entrance,
it was
bound to succeed.
Yes, it was. I think the teasing was great because, as I mentioned earlier, I do, you know, it's insanity when I truly believed that when she, you know, at face value, when Stephanie said Kane is going to be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, I thought, yep, that's where they're going with this. And then she said, all I could. And I thought, oh, wait, never mind. We're actually getting this to, you know, this is becoming complex. But I was nervous because, you know, I believed it. So, you know, again, great healing. I mean, she even brought up Bad News Barrett, who I obviously knew wasn't going to be. But, hey, that would be very interesting.
Fun.
Yes.
I've got some bad news. I'm like, well, I think she's stripping over the title. No, but it was just... There, I think you texted me this verbatim. You said they're drawing this out, which is good.
Yes,
and
is good.
She just healed the shit out of that promo. It was just
so much
fun. Only topped by Triple H's healing later on, but you know.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, when I texted you and I said, you know, oh, it's good that they're prolonging this, it's funny because, you know, some people, if you've been listening to for a while, you probably think I'm a hypocrite. But, Matt, you said you don't like prolonging. Depends on the angle, you know.
No,
this
situation,
actual,
it makes
real
sense
life
because,
thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on Daniel Bryan's neck recovery rate. And not saying he should wrestle at Payback. I have said 3,000 times, and Matt agrees with me, he should not be wrestling at Payback.
Ooh.
But there may be a way where they can prolong this where they don't have to strip him of the title. But I still support him getting the title strip. I'm sorry, not sorry.
Well,
I think
he's better
as a chaser.
I do believe he needs to get the title strips if he's going to last and, like, stay away until, like, let's say SummerSlam, which isn't as far as we think, actually. It's kind of funny. It's only two
Correct.
Months away when you think about it. The thing is, here's the thing. It's good to prolong this because guess what? This is our WWE World Heavyweight Champion. That's a good story to prolong when it's Swagger versus Cesaro or, you know, Swagger versus, Adam Rose or something. Swagger versus anyone, really. Don't prolong it. There's no reason to do that. You're only doing that because you want to be lazy in a way where you can just write certain matches with a tiny little change finish that no one really won with and it was a disqualification and then call it a day. No. Ready?
Yeah.
But this was a very well-written promo with a really, you know, good actress who was able to deliver, you know, this amazing heel heat. But if you're, again, if you are older, you can sit there and go, damn, that she really manipulated this crowd.
No, that was great. It really was great. It's one of the highlights of the night.
Yeah.
I would definitely
argue. And that's, I think, you know, one of the great things is that, you know, so, again, I'm cool with them prolonging this because of what it is. And then we move on, and I chuckle. We move on to Rusev versus the Union Jacks.
I didn't want to talk about this. Rusev squashed somebody. You know why I will mention it, though?
Hmm.
The Union Jacks, the whitest guys on the roster, got squashed tonight. Not
Which
a
is
black
nice
guy.
Compared to... Yeah.
Not a black guy.
But I'm worried that they knew, so they threw out the Union Jacks.
I'm worried that they're running out of black guys.
Yeah, right? No, they aren't. Well, then again, they did let go of Ezekiel Jacks. Yeah, they might be. They might be.
I think that's the only reason.
Quite possibly. Though they wouldn't care about, you know, putting someone through the job machine again. I mean, no.
JTG is available, guys. JTG.
Yes, right? But seriously, though, it's funny because it's just just a little quick blurb. It's good for heat, obviously, because the Union Jacks, you know, while they are jobbers, still they were from the, quote-unquote, from the UK, quote-unquote. I mean, they came out in that outfit that they came in last time they were in the UK. So you would think that they would do something really fun. So it's good for heat, but not for rep because, great, good for heat. Because, like, oh, Rusev, he destroyed our people. That's, you know, quote-unquote. But then his rep is, you destroyed 3MB. You didn't destroy 3MB, you tripped 3MB. You know? Like, you put out your foot, and then they tripped, and then you won the match. This is 3MB we're talking about here. They haven't really done much with them to make you think, like, wow, he destroyed 3MB. Right?
Yeah, no, I agree. And it was another, for the 3,000th time, another squash match.
Yeah.
Where
and,
it's like,
and,
what have you done to impress me yet?
And you know what he should have at least done? I'm not saying he couldn't have had this match. He should have interrupted Big E's Beat the Clock match. Because obviously, I will say again, while I'm not a fan of Smalls finishes, you know, this is the first time they'll be doing something like that with Big E and Rusev. And from the way it looked like last week, they were going to start a rivalry. And then
I don't know
kind of just
why they
scratched it.
I'm kind of happy because, you know, I don't need him beating on more black guys. But,
yeah, right.
Hey, we'll see what happens. But, ignoring that Union – I mean, love the Union Jacks, not loving Rusev. But
yeah,
ignoring
exactly,
that.
Right. Yes. We push forward, obviously. I mean, unless you have anything to say, you know, more about it, the Shield promo was good as always.
Oh, that
you
was fun.
I mean?
That was fun. Because and the crowd reacted accordingly.
Yes, of course. You know, Rollins versus Batista, we move forward. Strange that wasn't the main event, I feel. I mean, I'm okay with it.
Strange that it was actually a watchable match.
That too, yes. I personally believe that Batista is getting better. I'm not saying that he's the best, obviously, in the
that
WWE.
That and Rollins, you know, as I said, Rollins is on my love list, man. That guy,
of course,
is, he can
of course,
get a good match
course.
Out of anybody. But the situation around it was hilarious, was it not? Guest ring announcer, guest timekeeper, and then guest commentary. That was
because
really, really slick and funny. I thought, great.
Because, in my opinion, without that little twist there, which is very unique in my opinion, without that little twist, it basically was just the same match again. Same thing with, you know, Harper and Cena. Same match again. So I like that those twists really made it feel unique because, yes, you knew that there wasn't going to be a clear outcome, but at the same time, it was still a nice, unique way to get them there without saying, yeah, they're in my corner. oh, no, this guy's a special referee, because I was worried that Triple H was going to become the referee. But no.
Yeah, because that would have made me kind of angry, because it was too easy.
Yes.
But what he did was fun. I liked it.
Oh,
I appreciated
very fun. And Dean is great on the mic.
Oh, as always. I mean, that's his,
yes,
perhaps one of, you know, the things that people gravitated him for in the first place, because he's just really good on the mic. Check out John Moxley promos if you need them. I'll send them your way if you contact us on Facebook. Those guys on Facebook, if you're looking up the URL, it's /thoseguysontheradio. But, yeah.
Yes. And search bar is those guys. But also, the only thing I have to complain about the crowd for the entire night, my one real complaint was that when you boo someone, right, as a crowd, when you boo someone, they don't know what you're booing. People don't know what you're booing. So, you know, to bring this down to more of a, you know, like an actual, like, personal scale, I think that people might be able to relate to. You know, like last year at my local college, I went to see a play, right? And it was a very nice play. It was Dreamgirls, actually. High production value, actually. But the microphones, like, you know, certain college plays or even high school, whatever, the microphones were very poor. Right? And they were going out relatively easily, and it was a very big auditorium. So people, not understanding how theater works, because I believe because it was a local Broadway play, very cheap, the wrong kind of people came in. Because they were there, and they started actually booing, they were not booing the woman who was singing. They were booing the fact that, basically trying to say, man, the situation is terrible. These mics aren't working. I paid money for this. Dang, this is terrible, right? But it comes off as, I am booing the performer. And that is what I was worried about with this specific, where it sounded as if at the end of the entire, you know, like, thing that happened, right, it felt as if they were booing the performers because the Shield stood strong in the ring. And it kind of made me feel weird, because I assume they weren't. I assume they maybe didn't like the finish. But it just felt as if they didn't, it was just, the Shield is in the ring. Don't boo when the Shield is in the ring. You know, no one's going to understand what you're doing. It just sounds as if you're booing.
No, I'm just laughing at your elaborate 4-minute explanation to that.
Yeah. because that's my only concern about them. And, you know, for the entire night,
they're fine.
Great.
They're fine. They're fine. They're
great.
Fine. UK gets
so what out. Do you think it was? So what do you think it was? Just, you know, the finish? I mean.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm sure, like, 99% of them love Seth Rollins and want to see Seth go over on Batista.
Of course.
Why not? You know?
Like,
so.
they were chanting, you know, Bautista, which is it's a very
exactly.
interesting situation.
But yeah.
Yes. Paige versus Alicia Fox.
I like Paige.
The end. Here's the thing. The end was really bad.
Because Paige lost.
See,
Paige should win everything.
Not only should she. Here's the thing.
Shut
she
up,
doesn't have to win everything. She should.
Shut
but she doesn't have
up.
To.
No.
The problem.
No, no.
You shut your mouth.
That's it. Shut
your
mouth right there. Paige
that's. Just yeah no here seriously though the thing is I you ever played SmackDown vs. Raw 2006? We always come back to this with GM mode. They always give you tips when you're the general manager to try to make you keep your superstars happy and keep the fans in attendance really happy. And one of the big ones is, hey, when you're in a person's hometown, make them win. And Paige is on one of those streaks where it's just, you make her win. And yes, even, because some people might say, but the cost to Alicia Fox right now would be a bit detrimental. Then make her win on main event or something, you know? Make her win somewhere that this win could happen, because you knew you were going to be in the UK. Why would you make Paige lose? Because you make Paige lose, it, you know, because, you know, obviously, like, what are people going to say? Oh, you know, Alicia Fox is so, you know, is going to get the heat. No, WWE is going to get the heat. People know
no,
that
Fox
it's fake.
I think Fox got some heat, to be honest. Like, I'm not disagreeing with you in
okay,
terms of,
no,
yeah, I wish Paige should have won. Because,
you know what? But so, forgive me. I'm going to interrupt you. Forgive me. I'll say this then. She should have actually done it in a heelish way.
Yeah, that's
should've
fine.
Cheated.
That's fine. Like, they could have done that better. It's like one of those things on Kate's side, like, you know, how it could have been better. Because.
Yeah.
You're right. It wasn't convincing enough for me, and it just wasn't heel enough for me. And when it wasn't either of those two things, I didn't love it. That being said, we're very close to the pay-per-view. And
right.
Or we are, aren't we? For the most part.
For the most part, yes.
Yeah, so
yes,
I guess they're trying to wind down their whole – they're trying to build this Alicia Fox and Paige are going to fight at the pay-per-view thing. And they wanted to give her what would be the equivalent of, like, a high-profile win to seem like an actual contender. Because remember, I think I was the one who said this, the next match that Alicia Fox is in, she needs to win. I think
right.
I said that.
I agree.
Because
yeah, that was for
Paige,
main event. Yeah.
Yeah, Paige had lost. Paige had beaten her, rather. Paige had beaten her. Fox had lost 3 or 4 times in a row. So
oh, yeah.
She needed to look so much strong. And granted, it's unfortunate that it fell in Paige's, you know, home country.
Yeah, it should not have. That's the thing. It should because they're just it's a really weird situation where, and then, you know, because the thing is, with what Fox did at the end afterwards, other than saying, hey, I won, other than that one line, she could have done the exact same thing had she lost, because she's crazy. And no one would have thought any differently. Just, well, I mean, she's standing up there with King's hat throwing soda on herself. That sounds about right. You know, that doesn't seem out of the ordinary for this new Alicia Fox.
Yeah, no, her craziness. I think her craziness is getting over, though.
It
I think
is.
People are,
no,
it you
is.
Know, it's
yeah,
working.
It is, and I agree with it completely. Also, by the way, it is 12:29. Usually we would end the show here for many of you usually listening at home, but we're actually continuing the show for as long as we deem fit.
Because we've tacked Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. No, but seriously, though. Anyway.
As we continue.
Yes. I would like to use another JBL quote. You can take that. Leave my hat alone. Regarding King's Crown.
Why did it have to be regarding King's Crown? Because I feel like that could be one of those misquote things. You can take it, but leave my hat alone. JBL on his anal virginity. I'm just saying, that's an actual quote. We just need to put it in the appropriate, you know, sections.
JBL's first match against Mark Henry. Anyway, moving forward. Okay, we didn't mention this during the... Because we mentioned Ziggler versus Mark Henry a bit. Little things I just want to mention just very, very quickly. UK loves Ziggler, which is really nice, right?
Because who shouldn't love Ziggler?
I don't know if you noticed this. During the match, they started singing Adam Rose's theme. I don't know if you noticed that.
I believe you're right. I can't confirm it, but I think you're right.
At one random point where they had the focus, I believe, on Ziggler, Henry was on the floor, all of a sudden it's just da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I sat there thinking, no, that's not, no. But it was great, mind you. Also, I screamed no very loudly, audibly. I actually screamed no, right, when Ziggler didn't get the pin on time. Because it was just a tease. It was such a tease.
Yeah, I was hoping for it. I don't know what the benefit they get from making the tease out of it, because, again, I thought reversed it would have made more sense.
Yeah.
You know, where Ziggler gets it and RVD just barely, like, he does his 5-star, bounces off his stomach, and then can't make it back in time.
Yeah, that's all. I mean, it's just, but now we move on to the best part of the night, one of the best segments of the night.
It was the best
Adam
part for
Rose.
Me, because I got
yes.
something that I desperately needed in
yes.
A, like an actual promo, and B, he got
yes.
physical, and then justified
yes.
it by saying, you know, sometimes you go to fight, love, but it's funny.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my fucking God.
No,
Adam,
no, no. Honestly, though, and I told you this over the phone, and it was a bit confusing until I got my, I really was able to just hammer it, so I'm going to say it here. I love the entire segment. Right. They did everything right. The only thing that could have been an issue, I believe, was a gamble is, I was worried, okay, ready? I'm a guy from New York, right? I'm a guy from New York. If I'm going to do an Adam Rose kind of accent, I go to the UK, and they know that I'm a guy from New York. It's a bit concerning that they might think that I'm trying to parody them, and that I'm not being who they really are. So, point being, I was very nervous that they were
that
going to boo him. What, horrible? Horrible like a tragedy? What, do I make you sad? No, but
we live in New York and we don't suck. People hear us weekly as New Yorkers, and they sit there and they're like, is that what a New Yorker sounds like? It's, they only sound like that
on TV. You misunderstand. You misunderstand.
I know. No,
people at home, you misunderstand. This is our radio voice. Actually, we all talk like we're from the 1920s. Yay.
Well, I mean, I talk like I'm from Guyana, but that's a different story. This is indeed my radio voice.
1920s,
and my
Guyana.
American accent. But
yes, this is
no,
my,
I mean, I understand your fear, because I had
yeah,
the same,
but
like,
because
he's, what, South African? Is that right?
Yes, South African.
And
yeah.
I was afraid they were going to be like, hey, the fake Brit, fuck him. But you know what? Anyone with a brain should really love Adam Rose because he's just a lovable character.
Again, WWE really gambled that, and for once, the gamble worked. Maybe not in the stocks, maybe not with their funds. And there's, but
well,
Adam Rose.
Arguably, I don't think Adam Rose is enough to turn the stock prices around.
I'm not saying that. But he's not turning water into wine here.
He's not turning Alexander Rusev into Adam Rose. You just can't make some people entertaining.
No, he's just turning lemons into rosebuds. But thing is,
Which was my favorite line of the night, by the way.
Yes, yes. But no, what I'm saying is, I wasn't saying that he could do that. I'm just saying that they gamble a lot. And in this one instance, it worked. I don't think it's the one that they wanted, but it worked. Because sadly, we've had Adam Rose come out to two bad crowds in a way that, I said this on the podcast before, and I mean it. It could kill his career. I feel as if sometimes WWE is, with the amount of people they have on their roster, employed, look for a reason to go, see, the guy's not working, we don't have to push him. I feel as if they're looking for that reason, because why would they not? Because, unless the guy, maybe, or girl, is very nice, maybe very cordial, maybe always shows up on time, certain things here or there that might keep them there. But for the most part, they can sit there and think, well, he or she's not over. Hell, look at Xavier Woods. While I wasn't paying, this amount of attention that I am now as a podcaster at the time, I knew that I liked him. I knew that you liked him. I knew a lot of people that liked him. Ashley liked him. I knew a lot of people that thought, I like Xavier Woods. But clearly, he didn't get the crowd roaring for him.
And he was pushed accordingly. They never explained his character. And, of course, we debated that. You think it's a disconnect on one end. I thought it was a disconnect on another. And we had that debate last week. But, it is in plain sight. They never really gave his character depth, and he didn't cause the crowd to go nuts. So, yeah, on the other hand, you've got
Rose. For Woods.
No,
for Woods.
Now, the first two weeks was the failure of the Xavier Woods experiment, where it was basically, nothing's going on. And that really wasn't Adam's fault, because he is a very entertaining and talented performer. And I know I sound very biased when I talk about this, but there are certain people who are good at what they do, and he's not. Adam is not Daniel Bryan or Seth Rollins in the ring, nor is he Bray Wyatt on the mic, but is he entertaining? You bet your ass he is. And tonight was a really good example of why I liked him, and it was just a fun segment. And something I need to reference here, I've been waiting to talk about this all night because Maddie sent this to me early on.
Okay.
Justin Gabriel, who you might know as somebody that I really like.
Yes.
Happened to tweet out.
Okay. I'm interested.
Lost the bunny suit when I landed in London today. If anybody found it, please return it to me or Adam Rose. We need it for tomorrow. And working that this is reality, Maddie, and I agree with her conclusion here, is that Zack Ryder and Justin Gabriel are swapping duties in the bunning suit. Now, I understand that you love Zack Ryder, Maddie, but he just could not have pulled off the dance moves that Justin Gabriel did tonight. Because Justin Gabriel was on his fucking...
I wouldn't be surprised whoever was in that bunny suit, if it was not Justin Gabriel, may have been an Uso. We may have had Guy Tuhati in the bunny suit.
No, but seriously, man, that was fun. Like, it's just, that's the thing. We talk about this all the time. It's like, if you get angry at certain segments by WWE, you might be watching the wrong thing. Because you know certain things will come with the territory. And it's a lot better to sit back and laugh at them. Like, certain things are stupid. Like, as we really got angry over, the midget wrestling. And I hate to use that term, but that's exactly what it was. We had Tarico versus Hornswoggle.
What's even worse is, again, it's a match. If you say it's a match, okay. Surrounding the match, terrible. Certain things about
Emma,
a
joke.
Or even Emma, where I'm sort of okay with where she is now because I do believe she will one day work her way up. However, if this is really where they just want her to be, then this is terrible. This isn't as funny as it could be because, this is a better spot, I believe, reserved for someone like Bayley, let's say, whenever she would get called up.
Oh, yeah, and Bayley is going to be hella entertaining when she gets called up.
Oh, yeah.
But, same thing. He's given a chance to entertain, and he is entertaining. And I loved it tonight, and I loved that he got some physicality in, because he looked good doing it.
Yes.
in a very
and
short
I'm hoping
span.
That this, and I'm hoping that this kind of helps his career in a way. Because, again, this hopefully will be the, you know, the segment that is replayed where the entire crowd is chanting his song the second he comes out. Also, he was given more people, I believe, to kind of fill up the entrance more. Maybe they realized that they had too little people to, like, you know,
oh,
fill up the
funny
ramp.
To me, because I want WWE covered that. Didn't they?
What do you mean? Explain.
Does WWE cover their travel costs? Most of them, right?
Yes, no. Remember, some of them are WWE wrestlers.
No, I know, but it's just funny. Because it's
right,
like, those are all roster people. And
yes.
Not
and
any
actually,
of them were being used. One of them, for a while, when Adam first debuted on NXT, was Alexa Bliss, a diva who debuted recently on NXT as a very cheerleader, cute, adorable chick. But...
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because, like, I feel like all of them are eventually going to become in some part involved with WWE.
And I hope so.
Back and it's like when we look back and we say, hey, Dolph Ziggler was with the Spirit Squad.
Yes, exactly.
Like 5 years now, we're going to look back and be like, hey, he was Captain Comic or something like that.
Yeah,
and it's just going to be hilarious. You know? And that's another thing that just makes me, like, happy. About this whole Adam Rose thing.
Yes. No, so many things. I mean, heck, you have, I mean, think about it. And I already said this, but I really want to, like, put it for emphasis again. The song stopped, and the crowd started cheering. It made me tear up a bit because I thought, wow, thank goodness we had this happen at this time to hopefully make people in the WWE think, oh, so this guy isn't a complete failure. Because, yes, we've made references to it during the night. There were rumors that people may have thought, backstage, may have thought, I don't know if this guy is working out. I don't know if this guy is, you know, but no, he comes out, and he gets just so much hype. I mean, you know, they cut the music, you know, but they kept on going. And then the bunny started dancing, which was, oh, I was just, yeah, bunny, show off your moves.
I'm sorry, it had to be Justin Gabriel.
It had to be just,
so, Justin Gabriel's a man with the 450 splash, the Swanton bomb, and all that in his moveset. That had to be him. And that being said, this was a well-drawn-out segment because he got, as you mentioned earlier on the podcast, it was basically his entry promo. You know, that was his debut promo.
That should have been.
Where that was perfect. Renee, because even now it's kind of weird to explain why Renee had him as a guest now. But a couple weeks ago, if it was his first, like, you know, time on Raw, perfect sense. Hey, Renee introduced this new wrestler.
You can assume she had him as a guest. I just think it's really upsetting that it's always outside now rather than, you know, in the backstage. I guess maybe they haven't really gotten arenas that have a really... That one specifically did, yes. But still, it was great because it was just great because, you just had her saying, you know, so what's going on with you and Zeb? And it's great because for the past 2 weeks, we've described what Adam Rose was doing as very, you know, it's not good. It's a bit heelish. It wasn't really the right thing for him to do as this really funny, entertaining face. And then he finally got the chance to explain himself. And it's so true. Where if you sit back and you have been watching for a while now, you realize that, you know, Zeb and you know, and Swagger, they're a bit too serious, a bit too stiff.
No, and it
you know,
was
they
fun
need
because...
to be a bit more looser.
Also, when Zeb basically said, clear out the ring, Adam was about to clear out the ring because that's what faces do. They abide by the laws of the heel set, and it worked so well on many levels. And the crowd was into it as they were for every segment. I mean, hell, we didn't even touch on this, but the Barrett promo was a brilliant moment.
Yes, on Raw. Yes,
you know, we didn't – because tying it into the fact that they're in England, basically, you beat the clock, but England fucking sets the time. Like, that was so – good, and the crowd was like, damn, like, we would have cheered for you anyway, but you got an extra cheer, because that was good.
That's the thing, I'm speechless. Yeah, I'm speechless because of just the great things that they're doing. It's just, it's only upsetting because obviously, you know, it's RVD, and you know, and he doesn't need it, and obviously he's going to lose, but it'll be a great match, but obviously he's going to lose.
I need to start doing that.
Boom! And I love that he does it, too, by the way. When
he makes the noise.
Yeah. Oh, man. But Adam Rose, and also, I love that Zeb Coulter. It's kind of funny because, see, I believe that Zeb Coulter, even though it was kind of hard for him, he did what Heyman could have done. Very simply, right?
Cut the music and shut up.
Yeah,
and immediately
regardless.
They start chanting Adam Rose's theme at him. Because it's like, you know what?
Exactly.
We were going to be nice to you, but fuck you. Here's Adam Rose's theme. And the crowd does it again.
Where with Paul Heyman, I felt as if everyone felt as if they were a confused, ignored lover.
Yeah,
just,
no, I agree with you, because when he did that whole Undertaker thing, while it was funny, like what he was doing, the crowd was just like, we were cheering you, man. We don't really hate you. You can't really say that part right
now.
Here's the thing.
The laying down thing was perfect, actually, because it's something that should be done no matter what. The segue into it was choppy, because he should have said,
listen. It was awkward.
He should have said
something.
Because here's the thing what he could have done. Even though this is stupid, he did this on the microphone, actually, when he was on commentary a while ago, possibly, I believe, last week. What he did was he was trying to use whatever people were saying against him, even though they were trying to be complimentary. Same thing with Road Dogg and the Usos on the mic. No matter how you compliment a heel, if it's, you can have a heel say something like, oh, are you trying to mock me? So all you needed him to say was, you know what? Now I'm here in the UK, and apparently with your sharp razor wit in comedy, you're trying to mock my client, Brock Lesnar, but I won't have you do it. You want to know why? Because guess who I am? Try to do something to switch. I mean, maybe he isn't given as much freedom as he should be. Or maybe he was just legitimately confused because he didn't
I think he was. And honestly, I mean, we compliment Heyman so much that he's allowed
it's
to
weird.
Flip up a little bit there. And on the flip side,
hey,
Zeb's pretty good in his own right, too. And he had fun with it tonight, and it was done well.
Yeah, most definitely. It was definitely an amazing segment for Adam Rose and for, Zeb and Swagger. And this is going to be a great feud. You know what I like about Adam Rose, too? He can actually lose to everyone on the roster. Granted, put up a good match. Lose to everyone on the roster, and it's okay. Because he's the kind of guy.
When it comes to the point where he has the super job, right?
Yeah.
People are still going to love him.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have to take that seriously. He can just go to his party time thing.
Yeah, the only issue, obviously, is that hopefully it doesn't become a Rusev kind of job, because Rusev jobs are an issue when you have a guy like Adam Rose, because it's just, even though he is entertaining, I still don't want him to lose in a minute, because I want him to put up really good, entertaining 10-minute matches.
And he can.
Then lose.
And he
then
can.
He loses.
Different. It's like what I said to you right before we got on air. I think I almost certainly want Adam Rose on my TV more than I want Alex Rusev on my TV.
Yes. No, and it's great because, let's say, I don't know why they would try to extend this, feud with Adam Rose and Swagger to two pay-per-views, but let's pretend they try, right? So Adam Rose loses in his possible debut match at Payback. He loses. Jack Swagger wins. You think everything's okay. He's out now. He and his crew are outside the ring, and they start dancing out. And Swagger and Zeb are like, no! He doesn't get the last word. We won. No, he doesn't get his music. No. And then they just try to extend it in a way where they just get really angry with him. Possibly even recruit a new American or something, a new real American. Like something, some kind of, because again, how WWE is with their freaking, their longevity. Everything needs to be 4 pay-per-views, because why should we try for 4 separate pay-per-views? So again, you can have him lose yet still be happy about it, because he's like, hey, it's still a party. I mean, I'm not going to be a lemon. And
he
shouldn't be a lemon.
Very quickly tie in the whole, sometimes you have to fight, but for now it's party time. And I like that because he came off as tough, badass, the kind of guy you want to party with. And it's funny because we spent so much time talking about this, but it's really to their credit because they didn't mess up this segment, and I'm very happy for that much.
No, because it gives you hope for guys like Bo and for women like Bailey for the future.
Yeah, because they are the future.
Yeah, and they're learning. They're learning. They're like, okay, we did this in NXT, but maybe this. We can tweak things, but not too much. Make sure that people actually wrestle. Little things here and there that will be able to. They'll be able to debut, because something like NXT is not new for them, because in the past it was always just, throw them on TV. If the gimmick works, it works. If it doesn't, we'll just throw them back to developmental. But that's hard for some people when it's just you've thrown this person back to developmental 4 times. What's the point? You can see their old matches on the network.
Bingo.
Yeah, we can only get this right twice at most now in our current age. Twice at most. Which, hey, Adam Rose is his second gimmick.
Yeah.
So if he didn't, work out this time, could not have worked the 3rd time, in my opinion.
No. Wouldn't have.
No.
I'm glad
no.
it's working right now.
Yes, and the final thing on our agenda before we say goodbye to all of you listeners, Hogan is appearing on SmackDown again. We heard about this as a rumor, but we here at Those Guys, or at the very least me, would like to say that I don't think he's going to get a big pop.
Who gives a fuck? Bo Dallas is debuting.
What if that's the same segment?
I just shuddered.
Just,
it's actually possible.
I want to... No, I think it would be, I believe in Hulkamania.
It is.
I think I can be the next Hulk Hogan.
It
Imagine,
is certainly
I,
possible they could tie it
Oh,
in.
My God.
It is, and it could work.
Actually, yeah. I believe that I could be the next Hulk Hogan. Maybe even better than you, Hulk.
But I just hope, I desperately hope
yeah.
that because they're in England, that
yeah.
he somehow mentions, Bo, that he mentions that his hero is John Cena again. Because that'll tee off the crowd to immediately remember, we have to boo this guy and not worship
no.
the ground that
he
walks on.
No, that's the thing. He'll do some, he's going to be saying some amazing things. He'll probably say something like, you know, Daniel Bryan's out on injury, but I mean, hey, that's what happens when you're not an A-plus player, you know? I mean, it's sad, but that's what happens when you just aren't as good as the authority says you, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's
as the
most
authority
subtle
thinks you should
healing kind of
yeah.
shit that I've ever... And for those of you who don't keep up with NXT, one of the highlights of his recent NXT career is
yeah.
that after Daniel Bryan did his Occupy Raw thing around WrestleMania, Bo had an Occupy NXT movement where he was like, you guys, the Believers should raid the ring with me. Now, everyone turned their back on him and didn't raid the ring. And
yeah.
he got really upset and freaked out and had, like, a nuclear meltdown before winning a match. And
yes.
the next week, you're like, oh, what's going to happen? Is he going to change? He's like, guys... I know you love me. It's okay. I know that it would have been illegal for you to step over into the ring like that. And I respect you guys. You know, basically saying that the only reason they didn't support him, not because they hate him, but because it would have been illegal. Finding everything possible to avoid the fact that everyone actually hates him.
I thought you were going to bring up the Daniel Bryan thing. In the exact moment that he was actually trying
yeah.
to do the Occupy NXT, where it didn't work.
Daniel Bryan,
he actually said, before he freaked out, this was him just normally speaking, and it was great, just little subtle things. He goes, you know, I mean, Daniel Bryan can have a movement, and he's only a B-plus player. The fact that just the little tiny
yeah, and
things.
Just, and he earlier, before, I think the week before, had released a letter. Like, apologizing for, you know, him losing the NXT title and basically saying, like my hero John Cena, I will persevere. And it's just, like, the best thing. Like, he overdoes, and I hope they give him the freedom and time to do that when he's up on the main roster. Because this,
yeah.
unlike Adam Rose, is something I'm more invested in, not because I like Bo more, but rather Bo is young, which means he is
and
really
unique.
The future.
You
know, and he is, yeah, this is a very interesting gimmick.
Yeah, where it's, I mean, that's the funny thing about Adam Rose. Is his gimmick wasn't so unique. So when it was getting screwed up, we were concerned because it wasn't that hard. So this one is a very tricky thing because because people have been trying to argue, and I disagree, they've been trying to argue that this is going to be like a, you know, it's like, oh no, now he's just an inspirational guru. But I mean, he's always talked like this. So it's just, we're wondering, okay, so when he actually steps into that ring, what is he going to say? What is he going to say to these people? But hey, you know, to make them love to hate him. But hey, they picked the best crowd. I'm happy that they waited till now. Had they waited till last week, I would have cried tears of blood. There would have been no hope.
Yeah, I think they realized that England's going to give them a good crowd,
yeah.
and they know what they're doing here. I just wish they would have done it on Raw.
Yes, fair enough. But I don't think Hogan's going to get a pop, I feel, because he's in England, and this is the crowd that he's getting. And I know
he's not the British Bulldog, so I don't know what the hell kind of pop he's expecting. But
yeah, that's the thing, because he's America, yes, Hogan gets a pop, but I also don't remember seeing Hogan in New York recently. So that's one of those things, where it's just a crowd where you know how...
Ah, you're saying
like
smart
Cena.
Crowd may not enjoy him.
Yes. Yes, because while he's been to some crowds recently, usually I haven't noticed him in a crowd that would really, you know, think like, oh, damn Hogan. I mean, especially now after the Superdome incident, where I'm really, like, I'm sitting here wondering, like, well, you know, where is this going to go?
He is going to blow whatever promo he has. Like, he's botched at
That's
least, like, one line in each of his last promos or something.
And not even
so
botching,
just
the simple fact
we're here in Ireland, brother. Fuck.
Yeah, oh, my God. Not even botching, just what will the people think, you know?
I feel
will
like
they need,
even,
cause will they
I feel like they're going to be testy anyway, like you're saying, and then he's going to botch something, and they will turn on him.
Immediately they need to save the promo. They get The Rock to call in via Skype. The Rock was just woken up at 4 in the morning. It's like 4 in the morning wherever he is right now.
Because that's what saved WrestleMania.
Yeah,
interrupting
basically.
The Rock via satellite is Stone Cold.
The Rock redoes
his WrestleMania promo.
Now, honestly, it would be the only thing that would work. Where now it's immediately it is Hulk Hogan standing in a ring with both The Rock and Stone Cold on satellite. Just immediately called in out of nowhere. Just, guys, we need to do this. But anyway, that's where we're ending our show. That's the joke that concludes our whole night. Thank you for listening to our extended Monday Night Raw. I believe we got in a lot. Hopefully, you know, you guys enjoyed the Raw. Because it was a good Raw, honestly.
I hope you guys enjoyed the Raw uncut. And I was like, gonna punch you through the phone. Just
Monday Night Raw uncut. But no, we are those guys, right? We are
Legion.
We are Sharpshooter.
Yeah, Sharpshooter Joe.
Thank you. No, but seriously, thank you guys for listening to those guys. I mean, you know, without you, we wouldn't be here. And, you know, just keep on listening. I mean, we always mention like on Facebook. It isn't for Facebook likes. It's for you, because we do a lot, you know. So instead of sitting here going, I wonder what those guys do, you know, via show, like what kind of shows they do. Like us on Facebook. We update you daily. I mean, we have a Supernatural episode coming up with me and, you know, one of our gals and, you know, one of our new co-hosts, you know, Elizabeth, is coming on. I mean, we've posted some of her art on our Facebook before and, you know, and she's a great person and she's a huge Supernatural lover and, you know, I think it's going to be nice to just, you know, be able to talk about Supernatural season finale. And we also have more wrestling coming up, obviously, as the week comes through and, you know, comics and things like that. I mean, you know, anime, DBZ movie coming up, Lord Slug. That was actually just happened. Revenge of Cooler is coming up, DBZ Movie 5. Who's Cooler, you might ask? Well, maybe Frieza had a brother. I don't know. Look it up. And, yeah. So, in conclusion, thank you. And, Satish, you should play us out.
I zoned out because I imagined you giving a Bo Dallas-esque promo to get people to like our podcast. Just like, it's not about the amount of radio shows that you listen to, but it's about the minutes that take your breath away. Just think about, like, us and us being Bo Dallas. And, on that note, I'm actually not playing us out with Bo's theme. That wasn't, a sneaky segue or something.
It's not about being another guy. It's about being your own guy.
Well, that kind of negates us, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because that would
flip
be
it around.
That Let's guy and that other guy over there.
Listen here, brother. You should be with those guys, brother. Hulkamania, brother. Those brother guys, brother, 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 brother.
You didn't botch anything. But no, all jokes aside, thank
we're
you
here with these guys, brother.
I hate you.
these guys are great, brother.
Have a good evening, everybody.
Good night, brothers.
You all take care. I'm going to play us out with the British Bulldogs theme. Rest in peace, British Bulldog.
The World Wrestling Federation, for over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.